Good morning. I trust that we can remain in an attitude of worship. It's really great to be with all of you this morning again. We've been away for a while. I'm wanting to share on something that I feel is very good to come back to from time to time. God has really been speaking to me about His desires for us. You know, we have a lot of desires, and we're a praying church, and I think that's fantastic. God wants us to be a house of prayer. That's why Christ at the beginning of His ministry, earthly ministry, and at the end of His earthly ministry, twice He went into the temple for the same purpose, for just getting the priorities straight, the focus straight, and for defining how the Father sees and what He desires of the church of Jesus Christ. And Christ said that He wants His church to be a house of prayer. And I believe that we are an aspiring church in that sense. We want to be a house of prayer. But while the teams were away on missions, and I wish CS could share with you what he shared with us at this staff meeting, just about the stats. Where's CS? How many times have you been to the moon? Four times. With all the kilometers logged on our short-term missions trips, it amounts to the same distance as going to the moon four times and around the earth. How many times? 78 times around the earth. A lot of traveling done. From there, you can make the sums as to what it amounts to in budget and everything. But you know, all those stats may be wonderful, but you know what the most amazing thing is? That given how the evil one just hates us fulfilling what God has called us to fulfill, the Great Commission, the fact that we receive everybody back safely and whole and alive and focused, do you have any idea what a miracle that is? For God's hand to rest on our team so heavily. How many teams have gone out? 49. 49 teams have been all over the world, and they're back. And I just have such a strong sense that in as much as we're growing committed to praying for them, and it's in response to our prayers and our prayer covers that God summons His angelic host to look after them, I believe it's important that we just go all the way now, in that when we pray and when God does give a breakthrough, that we then do the right thing. We do the godly thing. We do the biblical thing. We say thanks. We give thanks. And I'm wanting to share just a few thoughts around this, and then I'm wanting to give an opportunity for us to get practical around this, for us just to come and give thanks this morning for the goodness of the Lord. And obviously it's just symbolic, but I believe God is speaking to us, and CS will share with you more lately about what he's come across in terms of what God is doing in the church in Asia. But God is speaking to them about the same thing, with the added extra that the Lord is saying to them that the Lord's table is a place of thanksgiving. It's where we say thanks for what is most important, the fact that we have eternal life. The fact that Christ has made a way, that He's opened a door, that we always come back to the cross and we live our lives in the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the only way that can be achieved is if we bring thanksgiving into our habit and into our culture. And by saying that, I'm actually making a very grave indictment here. I'm saying it's not part of our habits, not part of our culture. And that's universal, that's human. And I believe this is the part of our fallen nature as the Holy Spirit continues to sanctify us that God wants to bring a cleansing of. We as human beings are inherently self-focused and selfish. And the one way of overcoming that and allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to bring us into that level of Christ-likeness where we can access more of the power and the glory of Christ that has been made available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ is through the power of thanksgiving. Read with me from Psalm 95. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. A very active, beautiful picture defining what thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is not gratitude. Gratitude is a state of being gracious. It's something that lives in your heart. At least we register the fact that God has been good. We register the fact that things are going well. We register the fact that there's grace and there's love and there's mercy from God's side. We register on the inside. But thanksgiving is where we go that one step further. Thanksgiving is the act, according to Webster's Dictionary, of giving thanks, a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. That's what the dictionary says thanksgiving is. The Old Testament term for it is todah, the lifting or the extending of the hands in thanks to him. And if you keep that in mind, then Psalm 95 makes beautiful sense, if we could go there again, to come before his presence with thanksgiving. In other words, with the lifting of the hands, and it says, with joyful shouting and with psalms. So when we come together like this morning, it's not a church service, it's not a worship service. First and foremost, it's a seeking of God. And the only way to seek God is through thanksgiving. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, or sharing with the staff on Thursday morning, that when we embrace what Scripture holds before us, that when we want to experience the presence of God, activate the presence of God, then thanksgiving is the key. And I believe, just quickly, thanksgiving comes from that place, that state that we're in, that state of gratitude. And revelation, in terms of the Holy Spirit revealing to us the goodness of God. Because, you know, God is good to us, God is great to us, but isn't it amazing how quickly we forget that? Isn't it incredible how God does amazing things in Egypt for the children of Egypt? And hardly had they been through the Red Sea when they started complaining, when they started grumbling, when they lost their divine reference for life. And I believe that we cannot connect with God, we cannot have relationship with God outside of faith. Faith in what? Faith in his character, faith in his goodness. Faith in his orientation toward us. We must believe that God is for us and with us. But the problem is, whenever we encounter adversity, as soon as we come across difficulty, then memory failure really hijacks our relationships and the closeness that we've been blessed with God. And so, in our praying, I believe that I can really encourage us to not bring anything before God until we've stopped, recalibrated our GPS, and looked at the goodness of God, acknowledge that, and articulate that, verbalize it. You've got to speak it. And then grow to the place where we can do it with all of our being. In other words, you raise your hands or you fall on your face, but you acknowledge the goodness of God with the whole of your being. That right there is where we begin to access the fullness of the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we move out of religion. That is where we move out of legalism. Thanksgiving is such a powerful place, because then the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. But the Holy Spirit can only begin revelation with us when we look at the right things, when we look in the right direction. In other words, we look at the cross, symbolically, if metaphorically speaking. We look at the fact that God is toward us. His heart is toward us. It's for us. He is with us. His presence is with us. Our problem is that we're not present with him. So when we say that we could really sense the presence of God, then we're actually saying something very true, because God is ever present, but we don't sense that presence always. Isn't that so? And so even when we worship, God is present. Now, obviously, sometimes God isn't present. Sometimes, let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes the Holy Spirit withdraws himself. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is quenched. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is grieved. But we're not talking about those times now. We're talking about the times, most of the time, when God is present and we don't experience his presence. His presence hasn't been activated inside of us so that we can feel that he's near us. The second place that thanksgiving comes from is a place of contentment. And contentment for me means the combination of resignation. The psalmist says, stop fighting and know that he's God. You know, when you come from a place of faith, at some stage the Holy Spirit begins to tell you the war's over. Christ has won the war. You needn't contend with people anymore. You needn't even contend with demons. But you can go to God, because he will deal with them. But when you come to God, stop fighting. We cannot come to God with anger and with a lot of stuff in our hearts, with a point to make. There's a place of resignation that God wants us to come to. There's a place of just humility, where we trust, where we know that we are in his hands. Underneath us are the everlasting arms. That's how we come into the presence of God. And that is contentment. And contentment doesn't say that everything's perfect. Contentment says that everything's perfect for me right here and now. I know it's going to be better tomorrow because God has promised to take us from glory to glory. But for where I'm right now, I don't deserve to be here. So I am overwhelmed by the goodness of God that has brought me this far. I'm not where I was yesterday, and I'm not where I'm going to be tomorrow, but where I am today is by the grace of God. And I'm contented to be. I love where I am right now. You see, some of us cannot seem by ourselves break the obsession with yesterday. We're stuck in yesterday. African governments throughout history, our governments no exception, cannot forget what colonialism has done to them and what the British have done to them and what the French have done to them. And they just cannot come to a place of, but goodness God, we like the Jews. You have taken us out of Egypt. So can we forget about the Egyptians now and just forgive them? That's resignation to the truth. We are out of Egypt. We are out of the old South Africa. Yes, we are out of colonial Africa. God has made a way. We've moved on. But a lot of people can't do that. Then other people, having come out of Egypt, we're so aware of the fact that we're not in Canaan, we're not in the rest, we're not in the promise of God yet. But the fact is, that is an issue of hope, and that has to do with tomorrow. But just to come to a place of rest in God today, contentment, that's where thanksgiving comes from. It's such a powerful perspective that the Holy Spirit would help us attain to. The psalmist also says, it has to do with our fellowship, with our relationship. Psalm 35 verse 18, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among the mighty throng. Psalm 26, verse 7 to 8, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of the house, the place where your glory dwells. But I believe God's house must be a place of thanksgiving. What I have in mind, and I'm wanting to leave this with you as a seed, is that all of us understand that worship essentially has nothing to do with music. Worship has to do with the song in our heart that we bring to God. It finds expression in music. I have a sense of disquiet. You know, I love music and I enjoy being part of it sometimes, like this morning. But I have a sense of disquiet for what is happening in the body of Christ. And I also have a sense that if we don't make the shift back to God, apart from worship, all our cool worship, all our nice worship, then we're going to miss it. Because God doesn't want our music. He doesn't want our cool stuff. He doesn't want any of that stuff. He wants our hearts. And if we don't understand that, if whatever we do, our music or whatever, doesn't come from that place, then, you know, God doesn't have an interest in it. Just imagine God living forever. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine to be God, except when we're really angry and we want to kill somebody, then we'd like to be God. But now, quiet moments like these, when we've got to think of his eternity. He has lived through a lot of civilizations. He has lived through a lot of cultures and different cultural expressions. In all of those, there's been worship. And when we get before his throne, what the Sumerians and what those other people bring as worship before God, we're going to say, like, what is that? We're not going to have a reference for it. Because it's not as much worship for us as it's another foreign, weird cultural expression. So God's lived through all of that. He's received the contributions of tongues and tribes and nations throughout the ages. And I'm just fascinated by how we as modern people, whether it's inside or outside the church, we really believe we're the coolest and we're the best and we're defining in terms of human experience and human contribution. And we're not. But the one thing that ties us together throughout the ages is the one thing that God remains God and he wants our hearts. So what we've been able to do throughout the ages, whether our form of worship, our expression of worship in the natural has changed, and it has changed radically, the one thing that we'll all have in common before the throne of God one day is we're going to come with shouts of thanksgiving. We're going to have such a competition as to who can be the loudest and the proudest in terms of extolling and proclaiming the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And I believe God is ecstatic this morning about your excitement at the prospect. He can't wait. But I believe that the Holy Spirit would stir something within our hearts so that Whether it's us breaking bread at home, or you and your colleague at work on a Monday morning before you start at the office, you take one of those tiny little boxes of Ceres red grape juice, and somebody's got a little bit of bread in a bit of wrapping, and you get together in the office and you do it. We can do spiritual warfare. We can pray against demons. There's lots that we can ask God about and petition him for, and there's lots that we can fight against. But it's more important that we consolidate the ground that God has given us. We give thanks. If after that there's still stuff to pray about, let's pray about that. So coming weekend, when we do have the corporate fast, that's the focus. We're going to focus on all the amazing stuff that God is doing and has done. We're going to focus on the fact that we've been praying for our missions teams and that they've gone out and that they've got amazing testimony stories to tell. But God has brought them back in victory. God has brought them back alive. And I believe there's a powerful shift about to happen in our hearts, and that we're going to be as excited and as urgent in our thanksgiving as we are in our petition when we're afraid, when we're stressed. There's a mark of spiritual growth for you. And I believe this is the time when God will bring us into it. I believe that a lot of people are going to be delivered from their depression, from a lot of stuff, because of an open door. Not because of sin, just a degree of spiritual maturity that the Holy Spirit would bring us into now, where we shut every door for the enemy to get at us. Because once we bring our hearts to the Lord so he can cement and embed an attitude of gratitude that is strong enough for it to flow over in thanksgiving, then we become a people of faith. So there's also a brokenness. Psalm 50 verse 12 to 14, if we could go there. 13 to 15. God says, would I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. And call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. There's such a beautiful formula, because God does give us formulae sometime to connect with his power, to connect with him. He says, I know about the human condition. He knows that we go through stuff, and a lot of the stuff that we go through, a lot of the Sinai deserts that we walk long circles in, that's God's doing. Because he wants to allow us the opportunity to truly bless him, to truly bring a sacrifice that he wants. He says, I never wanted those rituals of the Old Testament. I never wanted the bulls and goats. That was symbolic of something deeper, something in the heart I've always wanted. It's like when you're in the middle of your hard times, when you're going through your tough times, when it looks, feels like there's no hope, when everybody and everything is against you, that's when I want you to bring an offering, a worthy sacrifice. That for me is like a sweet smelling aroma. I want that. Bring it to me. And I know it's going to kill you. I know if you never understood what dying to self means, this is where it happens. It happens when we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us into the discipline of thanksgiving. When everything inside your whole being aches and longs for a breakthrough, for just God to intervene, and there's just no indication, there's no confirmation that God is hearing you, that he's coming through. And then God wants us to come to a place of revelation where we understand where we are right now. It feels like all hope's gone, feels like the end of the world. But all that God wants us to learn to do is just to see where we are suffering. We're not suffering in Egypt. We're not suffering 2 kilometers outside the Red Sea. Many times we're suffering just 2 kilometers beyond the promised land, before the promised land. We've come such a long way. And if we were to give thanks, he'll help us to look up, and we're going to see Jericho just across the Jordan there. And we're going to be in a place where we realize we do have a lot to give thanks for. We can take this on many levels. Like I said, we can take it back nationally.
We can take it back to the fact that so much has changed in a political sense for all those people who are still angry about apartheid and still, if the Chiefs were to come and play here, would get so excited and rather support the New Zealanders instead of the South Africans. So many people stuck in the past. It's just amazing. Still hurt and broken and motivated by apartheid. And to them I say, just cut those chains. Break those shackles and come to today. Everything has changed. Support Alistair Kutsia. A lot has changed. It's not perfect. But we've come a long way. But it's such a beautiful picture of where our lives are at. And let's be honest with ourselves, people. It's one thing to throw stones at people out there and say they must grow up, but the same applies to us spiritually a lot of times. The only reason why we register such deep unhappiness is because of a need to mature spiritually. And the place where God begins to pour the Spirit of His Son upon us to bring us into the fullness of the stature of Christ is right here, at the place of the sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of thanks. Bring it to God. You know how it messes with your head? Your head says, listen, you are really being crazy right now. You're being loony right now. You cannot do that right now. Don't you have respect for your own pain? Don't you have respect for your own suffering? And that's when you must be like David and say, be still my soul and know that He's God. That's when you and I take authority over those voices that would presume to guide us. Those voices that would feed into our ego, into our conceit and our arrogance, all of those bits of our fallen human nature that still wants to cling, but that God wants to wash away from us. Until we lie on our faces in our gardens of Gethsemane and we say, Father, I'm not focusing on the fact that I'm bleeding through my skin right here. I'm not sweating sweat, I'm sweating blood over here, but I'm not talking about that, right? Father, right now I'm giving you thanks. Right now I bless you that I've come so far. Right now I bless you that you've kept me. That right now I bless you that you've never left me nor forsaken me. Right now, Lord, I want to think back to when you came and saved me. God, right now I just want to get excited about that happy day. Right now, I just want to sing, oh, happy day. Happy day, that day you washed my sins away. God, you have saved me. God, I'm with you. God, I'm in you. God, it doesn't feel like that. But right now, I'm saying feelings just butt out with respect. Just be still. Shush. Right now, I'm excited about that happy day. Happy day, you washed my sins away. We start right at the beginning and we recalibrate our human clock and our GPS. We get our perspective right again. And in that place, we begin to see Christ. In that place, we get unveiled. In that place, we begin to see where God is going, where He's moving. In that place, the mist begins to lift. In that place, the depression begins to run away. In that place, the depression knows that you are out of bounds. That spirit of heaviness cannot get back to you anymore. You are slipping out of His reach. You're moving deeper into Christ. You're not vulnerable anymore. You're not exposed anymore. Can somebody say amen? So, let's talk about the power of thanksgiving just quickly. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give Him thanks and bless His name. The courts of the Lord. The courts of the Lord. The courts of the Lord doesn't necessarily refer to coming to church here. The courts of the Lord refers to that place where the Father sits on His throne, Christ is at His right hand, and there are a whole lot of archangels around the throne, these fiery beings, these awesome, majestic beings. It's where God presides over the whole created order, over the whole universe. It's the Holy of Holies. If anybody enters there with unholiness, they get destroyed by the holy presence of God. And Scripture says thanksgiving allows us to go in there, to connect with Him. If we have petitions, if we have supplications, if we have a crisis we want to bring before God, the preface has to be, must be, thanksgiving. You never come to God empty-handed. We always come to God with an offering. That's what the Old Testament system teaches us. You cannot come to God without blood, without flesh, without a sacrifice. Nobody was allowed near the temple of God empty-handed. And guess what? Nothing has changed. Scripture says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. There's some fallacious teaching, wrong teaching going, you can come just as you are. Scripture says, yes, as you are, but not empty-handed. Because God has given each one of us a sacrifice to bring. It's a worthy sacrifice. Bring it. And begin to experience the courts of God open before you and the scepter of the king swinging toward you saying, you are welcome. A lot of people never have that experience of being welcome in the presence of God, where they share the company with these celestial beings, the angelic host, with the Son of God, with the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all presiding on his throne. Not only does the power of thanksgiving open the way into God's holy presence, a concert of thanksgiving, as we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, can release a manifestation of God's glory. You can reference the scripture at home, but Solomon inaugurates the temple, and there's a huge worship thing happening there. There's a choir, and just the trumpet players, besides the choir, as part of the musicians, there are 120 trumpet players. It's massive. They've consecrated themselves, and now they begin to sing to the Lord, saying, he's good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord, the house was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I believe that God wants to visit us, his people, in the same way, if we come in the same way that those consecrated priests and Levites came. We just come with hearts overflowing with a knowledge and a sense of the goodness of God. If God is good this morning, I want you to say amen. I believe God wants to bring us out of a passivity and out of an apathy that our culture in South Africa has lapsed into. It's strange to see the things like yesterday at the rugby, the things that really move our hearts. But when we walk with Christ, even though there are things that really get us excited, but the things that really stir our hearts is the meditation and the reflection on the faithfulness of God in our lives. And we can help one another to get there by watching over each other. And I believe that if we are to become aware of how powerful thanksgiving is, we can encourage one another to remain in that place of gratitude where we speak much more often of the greatness of the faithfulness of God than about all the negative things that our five senses would have us reflect on. It would change our conversation, would change our dialogue, would change our fellowship. But you know, the upside of that is it could charge that fellowship, that relationship with the glorious presence of God. We could have many more visitations of God. This was a visitation of God. When we over bread and wine, I heard somebody, there's somebody in Somerset West, Eben Swart, and I want to mention him by name because I want to differ with him about something that he's teaching on his videos. Theo says that according to him, and maybe he shares the sentiment with other people, that it's unbiblical for us to sing choruses over and over because it's an Eastern Oriental technique of meditation that activates some part of the brain and gets us into a trance, then we feel blessed. Now, I want to say that in Old English, Elizabethan English, that's a bunch of codswallop. In other words, all the angels that are around the throne are wasting God's time, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They've been doing it for eternity. So there's something about brainwashing ourselves that is biblical. Give thanks to the Lord for his good and his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. In fact, that's what meditation in the Old Testament sense means, to repeat by muttering, saying it over and over until you believe it. And once we believe it, God engages. The Holy Spirit engages us. So there's a depth in our relationship that I believe the Holy Spirit would have us be encouraged to go to. We would sit facing each other and do that. Just say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. While you're sitting watching me, it started at that end. I want as many people as can. Just say it. Say it. Get up and say it loudly. Can we start with you? Amen. There we go. There we go. Okay. Can we get the Todah going? The raising of the hands? Come on. We're going somewhere here. No, but you must stand up. You must throw your hands. You must put your heart into it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we wake up this morning? There we go. We're about to have church. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. There we go. Do you know that you and I have the right to interrupt anything on earth or in heaven doing that? There's no moment too great, too grand, too august for us to interrupt proceedings with thanksgiving. If we do that in the court of God, everybody stands to attention, allowing us to finish before they continue talking about the upholding of the worlds with the power of God. It opens the courts of heaven. In Jonah 2, 9 and 10, watch this. Jonah has been swallowed by a big fish, which scientists, when I was a kid, said couldn't happen, but it's happened several times now. Off the coast of Australia and everywhere. It says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I vowed I will pay. Salvation is of the Lord. Watch this. Then the Lord commanded the fish and he vomited Jonah up onto dry land. You know, there comes a place where we need deliverance. There comes a place where we, like Jonah, are in a place of defeat because of disobedience, because of missing God, because of a lot of reasons. But God is a turnaround specialist. God wants to turn things around, but he's waiting for us to come to this place where we understand the power of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It brings deliverance. In our deepest darkness, like we can be like Jonah. You know, you've got all the seaweed around you. It's smelly in there. You're running out of breath. It's pretty claustrophobic inside there. But Jonah, like the prodigal son, comes to his senses. And he brings a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And then God intervenes and brings Jonah and his life purpose and his destiny right on track. It works for Jonah. It works for everybody. It works for all of us like that. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read the story of Jehoshaphat. And he says, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord God and you shall be established. Put your trust in his prophets and you'll succeed. When he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, his everlasting. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. Can we stand this morning? You know, there are many enemies opposing the gospel. There are many enemies opposing the church. Band, can you come back up? There's a lot of things happening all around us. You know, the only guarantee that we have is that it's going to escalate. It's going to increase. But you know what God has planned? Is for our victory over them to be a lot more awesome. You know what they say about tall guys? They fall harder because they fall further. And a lot of the giants facing us are going to come crashing to the ground when we begin to plug into the power of thanksgiving. When we develop a spiritual attitude of being indomitable, infatigable, we irrepressible, nothing can get us down because we've discovered the power of thanksgiving. And like I say, sometimes, like this morning, people, it can just be a discipline. Some of us have participated in it this morning. And as the band plays now, just for a few minutes, we've just got a few minutes left here. I want to give you the liberty, and especially if the Lord is speaking to you about this. And I want to speak especially to the morning, this morning, to people who need to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, it's one thing coming forward and saying, you know, I'm really going through a hard time, but I want to give the Lord thanks. A sacrifice of thanksgiving is where you don't acknowledge the hard time. A sacrifice of thanksgiving is where you don't reference that. You don't speak about that. A sacrifice of thanksgiving is where you acknowledge what God is doing and has done, been doing in your life. The only other thing that the Bible teaches us you can bring with a sacrifice of thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of the vows you'd made, the commitments you'd made, and mostly reneged on, gone back on. And that's what brought Jonah through. Jonah realized that at some stage as a young man, as a prophet, he'd said to God, God, I don't care what you call me to, I don't care what you ask of me, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Whoever you send me to, I will go to. And whatever you want me to say, I will say. And then comes the day when God says, well, I want you to go to the Assyrians. I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah goes, God, I forgot to say, that's the one people group. I just can't, God. You know how the ladies do? I just can't go with it. But then when Jonah's down under, he remembers. He's got a moment of revelation when he comes with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He remembers the vows that he had made. He says, God, this is like a crystal clear moment. I see it right now. I hear it right now. And God, right now, I'm so aware of the fact that I'm so frustrated with you. I'm so irritated because I'm waiting for you to fulfill your promises and your vows. But God, I realize now that you've been waiting for me. I have made commitments that are conditional to your promises. And I missed it. But God, I thank you right now in the bottom of the fish that I'm alive. I always figured that if something like this happened to me, I would die. I'm supposed to die. I'm supposed to be asphyxiated here. There shouldn't be oxygen in here. I don't know how this works, but I'm alive. I can even speak. And the amazing thing is, God, I sense that somehow you're still with me. Even when I ran away from you, you didn't run away from me. You're from the bottom of the ocean. I have a sense that when I speak to you right now, I'm connecting with you. I'm just so overwhelmed by this connectedness I have with you. This umbilical cord that you've struck with me. I want to bless you, God. I want to thank you, God. And God, as I remember now all the things that I've committed myself to, and in my fallenness, God, you know how I look to you with a sense of obligation that I hold you in my mind with. You're obligated to do a lot of things for me. But God, I tend to forget that I've obligated myself. In those moments when your Spirit moved on me, in those moments when I was going through a hard time, I made a lot of promises. I made a lot of... Christ warned us about this. He says, I want you to speak conservatively. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, okay? Because there's a little problem in the spirit realm. If we go through life and we become all emotional in situations, we say a lot of expensive things. God, I will never look lustfully at a woman again. God, I tell you today, I'm so through with porn. I'm going to do this and this and this and this. Oh, God, and I'm so serious about this. And God, you can count on me. You know what's happened since? Like a whole roller coaster ride, a porno struggle. And now you're in the belly of the whale, right? And now God says, listen, son. The Holy Spirit says, bring me a sacrifice so you can connect. I'm right here. But you've broken the connection. Reconnect with me. Bring me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. just reflect again on my goodness. Just reflect on my faithfulness. Reflect on my perfection. Reflect on my holiness. Let go of that childish, juvenile, adolescent anger that you hold toward me. That bit of reservation that leaves you so passive and motionless in my presence. Let go of that. Reflect on the fact that I've not changed. I cannot change. I'm God. And I love you. Always love you. Will always be there for you. Father, this morning in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you want us to bring our bodies as a living sacrifice, as an instrument of thanksgiving, holy and acceptable to you, which is but our reasonable service. And Father, along with that, you want a commitment to mind renewal. And this morning, God, we are aware of the need for mind renewal. We're experiencing our lives and our circumstances negatively. A lot of our affliction and difficulty, it's artificial. Father, we realize because it's self-induced. But this morning we come to you in brokenness and humility. And we receive grace from you today to be filled afresh with the spirit of thanksgiving. To be controlled and overtaken by a spirit of thanksgiving. This morning, I'm going to come down here. You'll see us just come grab this microphone now. As the band plays, as the Holy Spirit leads, it's just symbolic. Somebody's going to get set free this morning. Come and give the Lord thanks. In your own words, just come and bless Him. Not for 20 minutes, 20 seconds. Just come and say loudly. Bring your body as a living sacrifice. Make it the instrument of thanksgiving this morning.
God, I just want to thank you that in spite and despite of me, Lord, your love is still unfailing and your love is everlasting. Thank you.
Lord, you put Manasseh on my heart because you've forgotten my past, and I will rejoice in the fact that my past is forgotten in Jesus. Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for Isaiah 55 verse 11. For the word that is going out of your mouth, it will not return empty to you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, it will accomplish what you desire, and it will achieve the purpose for what you have sent it, Lord. Thank you.
Kan ons die mense help asseblief? Can we just celebrate with them? Thanksgiving is a celebration, okay?
I just want to thank you this morning. This is the revelation, Lord God, that you're just always good, Lord God. That we can always just rest in your character. We don't need to understand always that we can just rest in the goodness of you, Lord God.
Here, thank you that you met us this morning. That was always a full love.
I thank the Lord for His goodness that is new every morning. His goodness that is new every morning. Amen.
Father, I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Father, for new beginnings. Thank you that you forgive me and forget anything, that everything that's my past.
Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. From the day I was born, Lord, you have been faithful.
Ek kan nie vir julle verduidelik hoe goed die Here vir my is nie, en ek erken hom in wat hy vir my doen en wat hy vir my gee. Hy gee nie vir my volgens wat ek vra nie, maar nog meer gee hy vir my volgens dit wat hy weet goed en almagtig en ultimate is. En ek erken dit en ek eer hom vir alles en alles wat hy vir my gee en doen in die naam van Jesus Christus.
Oh Lord, I'm going to thank you that you, although I don't have a dad, thank you that you are my heavenly Father. En dank dat jy my papa is.
Here, ek dank jy net vir die familie, vir vir hierdie Schaffer familie wat hier net vir ons gegee het, vir die band, Here, net ja, net familie, dankie Here.
Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Your character's good. You are good. You are faithful. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's just so much I've just got so much thanks for God, and so I'm just being obedient, and I just want to do this. And I just want to say thank you.
Yes, Father God, I want to say thank you that when I forget, you don't. You've never forgotten me, Lord God, and I thank you that you have chosen me, Lord. You have not repaid me with what I deserve, but you have given me goodness, Lord God, and I thank you that that is who you are, my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, and you are good, and your mercy endures forever.
Lord, I just want to thank you for saving me a year ago. And Lord, that you've come to my family and you've also saved my father, Lord. And you've brought our family closer together. Thank you, God.
Lord, I just want to thank you for my salvation, Lord, Father God. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your blessing on my life and on my businesses. Lord, and I also want to thank you for this wonderful family, Lord, the brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers you've given me in this church. In Jesus' name.
Father, I can't be in it, nooit say how baie dankbaar ek vir al die genade en vyf.
Father God, I am just so thankful today, Lord, that sorrow really just lasts for a moment, Lord, but that joy will come, my God, and I rest in your peace today. Amen.
Father God, in hierdie oggend wil ek vir u sê, dankie dat u sterk is wanneer ek swak is.
Father, that you have opened up our eyes unto the way of salvation. And thank you, Lord, that you're the one that lifts us up from the miry clay.
Thank you, Lord, for you are, and thank you for your love and for your love in my life.
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that our only hope for triumph over injustice is in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Jesus, that you're my healer, you're the lover of my soul and my friend. And I want to thank you, Lord, that I can walk and that I'm alive.
Tijdens die eerste worship het die Here net van een woord gegee en dit is alles. Ek het probeer opsoek die definisie daarvan. Ek dink dit is alles. Vir die Engelse mense hierso, God just gave me one word, everything. That's the definition of it as well. So I just want to thank him for everything.
I just want to thank the Lord for loving all of us before we loved him.
Thank you, Lord, for the calling on my life, on our lives, that we are your children, Lord, and you love us despite ourselves.
Thank you for small beginnings, Lord God. Thank you that you're in it all, God. That you're in the valleys and that you are on the mountaintops with us, God. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I just bring my body as a living sacrifice to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are busy restoring me, that you're here bringing healing to me, and that you are busy renewing my youth as you have promised, and that you're faithful, Lord. I give you all the honor in Yeshua's name.
Dankie Jesus vir die goedheid. Ek eer en ek loof en ek prys U. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you are the only way, that you are the only truth, and that you are the only life. that we can celebrate.
Ek wil net aan my vader sê baie dankie vir die pa wat hy vir my is. Ja, en dankie dat hy altyd saam met my loop. My nooit alleen laat hê.
Know, 2,000 years ago, somebody hanged on a tree so that you and I can have life. And there's nothing that would ever compare to that sacrifice that Jesus Christ has done to come and leave the glory of heaven, to come and serve you and I with His blood, with His life, to come and forgive our sins, to rescue us from the pit of hell, to rescue us from the place of just damnation, and from rescue us from ourselves. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget the sacrifice that He went through. And this morning when we come to God, that's the only thing that gives us that boldness, is the blood of Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you've forgotten that, or maybe you've never applied the blood of Jesus and His life, His forgiveness into your life and over your life. And He's reaching out to you again this morning. He's reaching out to me and He's saying, I want to save you. I want to give you a new life. I want to give you a clean slate. And so there are two groups of people here this morning that I want to encourage and challenge. The first group of people here that maybe has never come to apply and give, ask God for forgiveness for your life, for your sins, but more than that, for the fact that in being you need Him. You need it to stand before Him and say, God, forgive me, wash me clean. And then there's a second group of people that maybe you're a Christian, you've been following God for a long time, but you've forsaken your first love. You've walked away from that place where He's just your number one, He's your everything, He's your desire. He's the one that satisfies your soul. He's the one that gives you new life. And you need to come back to your first love this morning. And I want the band, I haven't prepared it, but we want to sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I was sitting in a bus, didn't sleep for two nights, going into Vietnam. And I bit off my whole one tooth, you know, because it was the only, I had like an energy bar. It was the only like Ethiopia, you know, thing left of sanity. You know? And vrachis, bite ek my tand af. And I was sitting there and I was sort of like tired and everything. And then the Lord said this, what Fred was sharing this morning, just give thanks for the cross. And I was sitting there and it was just such an overwhelming moment of just saying, God, doesn't matter where we are in this world, what we're doing, thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you that I have life. I don't want anybody to walk around right now except people that are going to respond, those two groups of people. And if you're here this morning, we're going to just take a moment while every eye is closed and people are praying. If you need to, you're one of those two people, you need to respond to Jesus for the first time in your life, then today this whole meeting has been set up for you, to explain to you one thing, that God loves you and He wants to rescue your soul. Or maybe you're here and you need to come back to your first love. And if that's you, I want you to quickly lift up your hand while people are praying, because there's a war going on. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I want you to lift up your hand. Quickly say, that's me. Because when you need somebody to rescue you, you don't look at yourself. You don't try and rescue yourself. When you're drowning and you're going under, it means you say, here am I. I respond to that call. I respond to the life buoy. I respond to the life saver. If there's anybody else, I want you to raise your hand quickly. Just quickly say, that's me. I need to respond to that. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just quickly. We're just waiting for some people to respond to the call of God on their lives. To respond to their first love. To respond to the lover of their soul. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Quickly. Raise your hand. Quickly, quickly. Just since there's a war going on, and if you're a believer here, you need to pray now. This is a good time to pray. because it's not about you. It's about some other people's souls that are at stake right now. Just quickly, thank you, Lord, that you lift the veils. Thank you that you open up hearts to respond. Thank you. Thank you. See, as we're praying, people, there's an openness for people to respond to the love of Christ. Just quickly, quickly, quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your conviction. Thank you for your drawing. Thank you for your fullness, God. Thank you, God, that you're saving people right now, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're breaking yokes of slavery right now, Lord. Thank you that you're opening up prison doors. Thank you, Lord, that you're lifting the veils. Thank you, God. We just bless you for, Holy Spirit, what you're doing right now in people's hearts. You're breaking chains and cycles of people's lives for years. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for that freedom. As we're going to sing that song, if you need to respond, you're one of those two groups of people, somebody that comes to Christ for the first time, or somebody that has lost your first love, you have made commitments to God, you've done all of that stuff, but you've just been trapped in sin and this world and yourself. And as we're going to sing that, and some of you maybe just need to do this symbolically this morning, won't you come to the front as we're going to sing this, we're going to respond to God for saving us through His amazing grace. His amazing love. And we're all riches. We're all nothing except Him. Let's just sing that song. And if you've lifted your hand, I want you to come to the front quickly. We're going to meet you in front here. Let's just say it all together. Lord, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all. Take my life. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. I repent of my sins and I turn back to you, God. Use my life as a worship song to your glory. I surrender all, God. Take my life and use it for your glory. Such a presence of God. So won't you just respond in worship to Him? We're gonna not dismiss the service. We're gonna keep on worshiping. If you need to go, we just want to thank God for making this CD and for these worship songs. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're gonna do through the CD. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on it, your favor on it, Lord. It's songs unto you. We give it this morning to you. We consecrate, Lord. Sê vir U Here en ons sê Here, laat U naam verheerlik word. Laat U koninkryk kom deur dit, Here. Laat U wil geskied soos hier op aarde soos wat dit in die hemel is, Here. En vanoggend, Here, kom gee ons, Here, ons offerandes vir U, Here. Ons kom gee ons lewens vir U. And some of you, as you're gonna go out, you need to thank the Lord for your husband. You need to thank the Lord for your wives, for your children, for your work. And tell somebody about it before you leave this place. Tell God about what He has done in your life. Share your testimony. Share what He's done. Waar jy kom uithaal het uit die moddergat van niks nie. En as jy gebed nodig het, miskien is jy siek in jou liggaam, miskien het jy bevryding nodig vir oggend, kom gevinnig vorentoe. Ons bid graag saam met jy. Maar soos wat ons net gaan hande over jy te aanbid.